Today's episode is all about PMS and painful periods. Is it normal to feel off before your period? When does it become a problem? What is causing it and what can you do about it? From mood and body changes before your period to pain during your flow, I interview Dr. Sarah Bala about it all. We discuss what periods should look like postpartum and so much more. I can't wait to share it all with you. Let's get started. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Staying truly deeply hydrated with minerals while trying to conceive, during pregnancy and birth, and throughout your breastfeeding journey is very important. And nowadays, there are more options for this than we can even count. For Dr. Leah and I, ingredient quality is of top concern, and that's why we love Relight electrolyte powders by Redmond Real Salt. Relight contains Redmond's ancient unrefined sea salt, which contains 60 plus trace minerals in and of itself. Relight powders conveniently contain the appropriate proportions and forms of calcium, potassium, chloride, and even two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavor is strawberry lemonade. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off your order of any of the other products that Redmond has to offer, including their OG sea salt, other seasoning salts, natural toothpaste, bentonite clays, and more. Happy hydrating.
Dr. Bala is a naturopathic doctor specializing in PMS, period pain, and heavy periods. Prior to going to medical school, she received a bachelor's degree in neurobiology and now has a thriving online business and practice where she sees people in groups and one-on-one. Her mission is to educate women of all ages so they can understand their bodies inside and out and have confidence in their health. All right, Dr. Bala, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to chat with you all about PMS and periods.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. So before we get started, I just want to ask you, because I like when people get to know the person who's talking, what made you interested in focusing on PMS and periods and painful periods and all of that?
Yeah, I think honestly, having gone through all of these issues myself and knowing there just wasn't a lot of resources for me. There weren't a lot of solutions that I felt comfortable with. I would go to the doctor and they would say birth control. They would tell me take, you know, pain medications, that it's normal. There's not a lot we can do. It's just a part of being a woman and, you know, the usual stuff. And I was just like, okay, you know, I didn't know any better. And then as we went through medical school and I'm realizing, oh my God, there's so much that I can do to support my liver and my gut and my cortisol regulation and my sleep and my this and my that. And I did those things. And within 3 to 4 cycles, all of my PMS went away. I didn't have that like irritability and the rage and the mood swings. I didn't have the cravings. I didn't have painful periods where I was having to miss class and miss events and miss work. Like I didn't have the heavy bleeding anymore. I wasn't worried about like, do I have a change of clothes in my car? Do I have extra pads and tampons in my purse, in my like suitcases, in any bag I might take without prepping for? Do I have extra things? I didn't have to worry about that anymore. And it was just so, I was like, are you kidding me? It's been 4 months that I've address these things. I have to tell every single woman out there that this is possible. Like we don't have to be stuck with having birth control and pain meds as our only option anymore. So I was like, we need more education on this. Women need to know they can live their life and not be bound by whatever their periods are like.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I had really debilitating periods as well growing up. Like, you know, the super heavy, embarrassing, bleed through everything, super painful periods, feeling like you're being punished. And it's just so sad that we don't, as a society, one, know. It's not like my mother could have even told me, even if she knew, because she didn't know. We just don't know, and we don't support these women. And, you know, it's just, it's so sad. And then when you get into the space of fertility, which is something I'm super passionate about, these are all clues, right? We talk about the period being your fifth vital sign and how it's so indicative of imbalances that might be going on in the body that you can address way before you even want to have a baby. Not that it's all about just having a baby. We want to have a healthy life even when we aren't wanting to conceive, but I think that's just totally amazing. So thanks for doing what you're doing.
Yes. And you too.
Thanks. Okay. So we're talking about PMS and painful periods, but can you kind of describe for us, I think it's a very misunderstood everything in the regards to periods. Can you talk about what PMS is and what changes are normal like throughout our cycle and when there's an indication that something's wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. So PMS is technically those mood changes that happen, the psychological symptoms that happen that in that luteal phase prior to your period starting. And it, I think a lot of people also kind of lump in some of the physical symptoms, and I think it's just kind of whoever you talk to, right? So some people will classify it as the mood swings, the irritability. Some people will also say the cravings are a part of it, and you know, the migraines or the headaches that you get, the breast tenderness, the period flu symptoms. A lot of people get those, and so it really just depends on who you ask. I kind of lump it all into PMS as one, like the physical and the mental symptoms can kind of all go in, and I do want people to know that it's not normal. It is very, very common, right? How many women do you know in your life that don't deal with one or many of those symptoms before their periods? Yes, we all do. And is that a product of our environment? Is that a product of what we're doing on a regular basis? Our routines, mm-hmm. our lifestyle? Like there's so many factors that go into why we might be experiencing some of that. And so I'm going to say what is normal is, yeah, maybe a slight shift. Like in your follicular phase, you feel super energetic, you feel really good, you feel amazing, you feel super hot. And then you ovulate and you're like, I feel like, you know, a sack of potatoes now. And yeah, that is totally normal. That part is normal, where you're not going to feel as vibrant. Your energy levels might be lower. You're not going to want to move as heavy and lift in the gym like you were in your follicular phase. Those little things, those little shifts are normal. You might notice, like, I feel like I want to eat a little bit more sweets than I normally do. Those are very normal. But what's not normal is going to be those severe symptoms of, I am so irritable. I can't stand anyone around me. My husband is pissing me off. Why is he breathing so loud? Why does he have to look like this? Like, why is he looking at me with those eyes? Or, you know, like this person sent this email and I'm so, you know, annoyed by it. Or you just feel those, you just feel really low and just, it's a huge shift. I typically associate, or I will typically classify that as PMDD. Like it's technically classified as PMDD when it is disrupting your daily life. If you're unable to attend meetings, do your daily work, you can't go work out anymore, you can't create, you know, eat for yourself anymore, like make meals or whatever it is. If it's interrupting your daily routines, that is when it's called PMDD or classified as PMDD. Until then, it's technically PMS, right? Like those shifts in the mood, you're still able to get through your day, but you're irritable and you're grumpy about it. You know, that's PMS. So none of that is normal. We don't have to deal with that. We don't have to be moody and uncomfortable and not feeling good in our bodies.
I love that. So what, in your experience, knowing what you know now going through medical school and seeing patients, what do you think is sort of the root cause behind that? You know, it's common. Clearly, it's very common, not normal. So why is it happening to so many women? What's going on?
Yeah, that is a great question. I like to classify most period and hormonal issues into the four pillars that I've kind of classified it after seeing so many women over the years. I'm like, these are the four things I repeatedly see. And the four pillars that I like to work on for most people are going to be cortisol regulation, blood sugar regulation, liver metabolism, and your gut health. If we can work on these four pieces, we'll typically see your PMS symptoms start to fade away. Your heavy bleeding goes away. Your period pain starts to dissolve. You feel more energetic. You're sleeping better. Your hair starts coming back. Your skin is more clear. Like all of these little things that we have kind of dismissed as, oh, it's my hormones, it's my periods, I'm a woman. Those things start to change when we've addressed these four pillars. And specifically with PMS, I would say the two pillars that I see most associated with the mood symptoms, at least, are going to be cortisol regulation, so your nervous system, and then blood sugar regulation. So those are the two biggest ones that I see. If you are struggling with irritability, sleeping, fatigue, you're dealing with mood swings throughout the day, all of that would come down to those two pillars. When we can regulate your nervous system, get good sleep, regulate that cortisol, you'll have more energy. Your moods are going to feel good. You're going to feel hungry for your meals. And then when we can stabilize your blood sugar a little bit more, you're going to feel good throughout the day. You're not going to have crashes in energy. You're not going to be craving the sugar and the carbs and the pizza and the bread anymore. Yeah. So those are, you know, those are kind of the main symptoms we hear most women are talking about. And when we can work on those two pillars, we see a huge shift, usually within just a couple of cycles.
Isn't that so crazy? I think there's so much in naturopathic medicine that feels like magic.
It does. I feel the same way. I know. Have some people that are like, what voodoo did you do to me? And I'm like, you did this. Like, if I'm just helping you see what you need to see, you did this on your own. So
yeah. So when you're talking about those two pillars, what are some practical tips, or what are like the main things that you're usually telling your patients that there may be things that they need to shift in their lifestyle or how they're handling things to regulate that? Because I think when we say regulate cortisol in your nervous system, that can feel kind of abstract to people. Yeah. Like, what does that mean for someone in their day-to-day life?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, I could do an entire podcast about cortisol regulation. But I like to start with basics. I tell people, especially for nervous system regulation and cortisol, it's the free things that you can do. It has, mm-hmm. You don't have to buy a supplement. You don't have to, you know, get anything extra. You don't have to buy a single thing to regulate your cortisol. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come down to your bedtime routine and your morning routine, because those are the anchors of your day. Regardless of what chaos happens in between when you wake up and when you go to bed, if you have these two anchors in the morning, your nervous system is going to be thanking you for what you're doing in those two times. And you are laying in bed for 6 to 8 hours every single night. Make it worth your while. You mm-hmm. are spending that time in your bed anyway. Make sure you're getting quality sleep. Make sure you are falling asleep well. Make sure you're getting in a parasympathetic state before you fall asleep. Make sure you're getting the recovery and the turnover in your neurotransmitters that you should be getting when you're sleeping. Because otherwise, you're wasting 6 to 8 hours every single day of your time just laying in bed, not getting restorative sleep. So The number one thing I like to say for a bedtime routine is going to be, give yourself some time to wind down and do nothing. Your brain is constantly stimulated. We wake up, we are checking our emails, we are talking to people. Where if you're a mom, you're taking care of all your kids, getting everyone ready, rushing people out the door, getting yourself ready, getting the house ready. Then you're working all day or whatever it is that you're doing. You're constantly stimulated. You might be on your phone, scrolling through Instagram, scrolling through social media, checking emails, like talking to people. You're constantly stimulated. Then you come home, you put the kids to bed, do your evening stuff, cook dinner, clean the house. And then you are like, okay, I'm finally, you know, done with everything. Let me lay on the couch and watch TV. Let me scroll on my phone. Let me finish work. You're still stimulating yourself. And a lot of people are doing that in their bed. They're checking their emails in bed. They're laying on their phone, scrolling social media. And while it might feel like you're vegging out, you are still stimulating your brain. Then we're trying to fall asleep. We're trying to tell our brain, okay, I'm just going to fall asleep in this stimulated state. You're not making enough melatonin. Your cortisol never had a chance to turn off. You are falling asleep from exhaustion, not from winding down. And when we're not falling asleep in a parasympathetic state, you're going to be in a lighter stage of sleep. You're not going to get the restorative quality sleep through the night. You're probably going to be tossing and turning. You're probably going to be waking up a few times a night. You're probably going to wake up feeling exhausted, searching and zombieing your way into the kitchen looking for caffeine. So if that is how you're falling asleep, of course you're going to be dragging. And of course your nervous system is going to be like, I can't handle this. And when you're in your luteal phase, that progesterone, I like to say progesterone is like she's the high maintenance queen. She needs a lot of attention. Estrogen is forgiving. Progesterone needs a lot of maintenance. And so if you are not doing these things on a regular basis to help your nervous system and get that good sleep, you're going to see it in the luteal phase. Your luteal phase is a mirror for how you live your life. So that's where I like to say, help your body and your brain wind down before you go to sleep. It doesn't take long. 30 minutes of putting your phone down, turning off the TV, doing like what I like to do is 5 to 10 minutes of some stretching. I'll do like cat-cow. I'll do some child's pose. I'll do some lizard's pose, opening up my hips and stretching out my back just before I go to bed and just breathing a little bit slower and letting not only my muscles wind down, because when your muscles are relaxed, your brain can relax too, but also just giving my brain nothing to think about other than my day. I can process what happened today. I can think about what I need tomorrow. I can just drift and let my brain do what it needs to do to essentially process that day. It's almost like a mini therapy session for free.
Yeah, so, for free. I love it. I know I used to hold workshops talking about our cycles and San Diego when I used to live there. Yeah. And I love the thing that we used to say, PMS stands for please move slower.
Please move slower. I love that.
So it's, you know, it's a sign. And we would always talk about how your body's always talking to you, right?
Yes.
And your symptoms are the language of your body. And exactly. They're telling you if it's happy or not happy. And when we have symptoms and imbalances and struggles, we need to pause and ask ourselves, what are you trying to tell me?
Yes.
And in the PMS time, you know, we just see it so much in practice, you know, you and I with patients, but in general as women too, I think once you start practicing these things, you learn, oh, if I am having these irritabilities or mood things, there's something I'm not addressing. I'm not prioritizing myself. I'm not moving slow. I am doing too much. And it comes out as these horrible experiences that we have before mm-hmm. our periods. And so it's such a blessing in a way that
we're
just not taught how to listen. We're just not taught how to listen.
I agree. I tell people all the time, I'm like, men have no idea what's going on in the bodies. We know immediately.
I know.
Our nervous system is not regulated. That luteal phase is going to tell you that your periods are such a window into your overall health. And we can see it in real time. Whereas I'm grateful that we get to have that view into what's happening inside our body, because otherwise I'd have no idea.
I love it. And you know, I also talked a lot from like an ethereal perspective of evolutionarily, you know, that second half of the cycle, theoretically, if you were like having sex all the time, you could theoretically be pregnant, but you don't know, right? And progesterone is that hormone that mm-hmm. is supposed to be up in the second half. And so just like you said, it's the high maintenance queen. It also makes you kind of reflect on your life. And if things aren't working well, because like you said, estrogen is forgiving. There's times when maybe you can handle your boss or you can mm-hmm. handle, you know, a person in the first part of your cycle because you're higher in estrogen. But once you're predominantly in progesterone during that premenstrual time, things that really are getting in the way of you, quote unquote, having a successful you know, pregnancy or a successful life. I know that sounds really weird.
But that's essentially kind of how we have
evolved.
But
it is.
Right?
Yeah, it is how we evolved. Like if there's some person in your village that's unsafe, you know, you're going to be more attuned to that in that second half of the cycle.
Exactly.
Or you might be more annoyed by something that, you know, isn't good for you or whatever. So I think it's also an important time as women to reflect on what am I being annoyed by what is coming up, even though it's not normal, but it's also like, okay, what in my life am I not living in congruence? What am I ignoring
mm-hmm.
that I should be paying attention to? So I just think that's a fun thing to state.
Yes. What did you say PMS stood for again? Please what?
Please move slower.
Please move slower. I cannot wait to use that. I love that so much. And that's essentially like, if you think about it, like, why are you feeling irritable? Why are you feeling mm-hmm. Why are you? It's probably because you've been moving so quickly and mm-hmm. you just need to slow down. That is such a, I love it.
Yeah, so fun. Okay, so then let's just talk a little bit about painful periods.
Mm-hmm.
Do you classify them together or are they completely separate things in your mind?
I would say they're separate because I have a lot of women that I work with who have PMS and no pain. Then I have a lot of women who don't really have significant PMS symptoms, but they do have significant pain. So they can come together. You can have both, and it is possible to have one or the other. So mm-hmm. I would definitely say they're separate issues. And pain can be, there's primary and secondary, and then there's also, there's essentially primary and secondary dysmenorrhea or pain. And mm-hmm. so primary is going to be usually from that excess of prostaglandins. We have a lot of inflammation. We have a lot going on in our body, and we need to help process that and lower those levels. And then we start to see an improvement in the pain. Then there's the people who have something like endometriosis, adenomyosis, maybe fibroids or cysts that are also causing pain. That's that secondary. It's secondary to something structural that we know is causing the pain.
Mm-hmm.
That is not to say that we still can't address those pieces. We can still address how can we get rid of the fibroids? How can we help it shrink? How can we manage the pain from endometriosis to a degree? So there is still stuff that we can do, and we know, okay, there's more going on than just the inflammatory pieces. So it kind of depends. Are we also working with endometriosis? Is there fibroids involved? Are there cysts? What else is going on in your body that we need to address to help that underlying cause of the secondary pain? And if none of those are a factor, then we look at, okay, where is this inflammation coming from for you? Is it your nervous system? Is it your blood sugar? Is it your liver metabolism that's not working well? Or is it that gut piece that we need to work on? So you see
similar root causes in a way when it's absolutely not necessarily endo or fibroids, when it's like a primary pain.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hop back to painful periods, but since they're kind of two separate things, even though they have similar root causes, let's just finish on the topic of PMS and then we'll kind of pop back to painful periods. Cause I think I wanted to differentiate that for people. I think sometimes as women, we kind of lump everything unfortunate around the period into PMS. We just like call it all PMS, like, oh, I'm PMSing when they're like bleeding and they're having a painful period. And so what is like one of the biggest things that people don't know about PMS?
PMS. Okay. I really think it is the stress. It's the stress. I think a lot of us think, oh, it's my hormones. It's my hormones. It's my hormones. Your hormones are a downstream effect of everything else going on in your body. And the number one thing I see with PMS, especially the mood symptoms, PMS and PMDD, is going to be that stress in the nervous system. How are you orienting to your life? Are you go, go, go all day? Do you get a second to wind down? Do you get a second to relax? How is your nervous system? What is going on in your day? Like, that is the biggest thing that I see when we start to slow down, when people start to breathe more, when they add in a bedtime routine, when they add in a morning routine, they're like, my anxiety is gone. Maybe not gone, but at least, you know, less. Like, it's not taking over my life. I don't feel so tight. I don't feel so in a sympathetic state all the time. So it's very, I think a lot of us think it's my hormones. Something's going on. I need to, you know, quote unquote, balance my hormones, when really it's your nervous system. It's your stress. It's your cortisol that is causing the issues. Like you said before, that progesterone is just helping you reflect on what your life is really doing. Like, your luteal phase is that mirror for how you are living your life. So what's going on? What's going on with your nervous system? How are you orienting to your world, and what can we change about that so that you are not dealing with these severe mood symptoms?
And do you see, because I've seen this in my practice, do you see that having issues with making enough progesterone can lead to PMS type of symptoms?
It can. And I also see PMS, PMDD in women who have adequate progesterone levels, and it's actually how their body is metabolizing the progesterone. So,
oh, interesting.
I've seen people with very healthy progesterone levels who are still experiencing those symptoms. So it does, like, if it's low, then yes, we can say it's progesterone. And just because you have PMS doesn't mean that your progesterone is automatically low.
Gotcha. That's great to know. Good distinction for people. Okay. So we talked about regulating your nervous system. The other thing I wanted to add, which I'm sure you talk about too, is just the power of nature, which I know it sounds so I feel like all these things that we talk about in naturopathic medicine, no one's shocked by it. They're not like, oh my gosh, like, did you hear about this thing? It's just that we don't actually do it.
Exactly.
As people.
Yeah.
And, you know we need to reduce our stress, go to bed, not have TVs in our bedroom, these kind of things. But are you actually doing the things? And I encourage people, what I do in practice too, is set small goals where you just say, okay, for the next 5 days, I'm going to do this one thing. You know, that's it. At the end of those 5 days, whatever. We're not even going to think beyond that, because I think when someone is told, do this forever, starting now, don't do this, you know, it can feel so overwhelming. And I think the most powerful medicine is to give people a taste of what it's like to feel good.
Yes.
And then they want to do those things. I don't ever want my patients to do things because I told them to. I want them to want to do it, because that's the only way we can make these changes. They're lifestyle changes. They can't be dictated to us. They have to be like realized. So for anyone listening, like you said, the morning, the nighttime routine, I also really encourage people to go outside and like take their shoes off, put their feet in the earth.
I love
the amount of power of grounding and getting that negative charge and pulling those positive cations out of our body that lead to inflammation and oxidative damage is so powerful. Not just like looking at nature and being in nature, but physically touching the earth. And there's an amazing documentary called Earthing. I think it's called the Earthing Movie, if you guys want to learn more about that. But I think that's another really practical, easy, free thing that you can do. And, you know, if you're walking this journey, struggling with PMS, whatever, just take 1 week you know, to just see what it feels like and see if you can notice a difference. Obviously, it might take longer than that because we're cyclical beings, but to start a habit change, you know, just go slow.
I agree. Yeah.
Something absolutely. I wanted to throw in there.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these things are free, which is, I think a lot of people think like, oh, I can't be healthy. I don't have, you know, enough money to get supplements or change this or change that. And a lot of these things are just small things that we have to find 5 to 10 minutes in our day to incorporate or shift, you know, get 10 minutes off of social media so that you can do XYZ thing.
I know. I think it's actually a waste of time and money if you're buying supplements and buying fancy food and doing all these things if you're not doing the lifestyle stuff.
100%.
Yeah, it's the foundation, right? It's not the fun stuff. No one wants to talk about it, but it's the stuff that actually changes your hormones.
Yes, exactly. I agree. I'm like, nobody wants to hear that you have to sleep better and put your phone down. We all know that. No one wants to hear it. You want that cool supplement that's going to help you fall asleep. But
you just have to do it.
Yes.
Okay, so let's circle back to pain. So we talked about how there's two different types. There's the primary or then there's the secondary. Like if you have endometriosis or you have a polyp or some other structure, a physical structure that's contributing to pain. It sounds like nervous system regulation, blood sugar regulation are a big thing with PMS. What would you say is kind of like the root that you find for the most part with pain if it is coming from prostaglandins and inflammation? Is it similar or do you find it to be food or the microbiome or is there something else that you see playing a factor in that?
I think it just depends on the person, right? There can be two women who are dealing with pain and one lives, you know, out in the country away from everything. There's not as much air pollution. She gets her food from farms and whatever. And she still has pain and that might be she's, you know, stressed out on a daily basis. She has a lot going on or she might have had dysbiosis. There's parasites or some bacterial fungal overgrowth. There's something going on. That's what we would have to address for her. Whereas the other one lives in the city. She's walking around outside all day. There's a lot of air pollution. She's around fragrances all the time. She is, you know, not able – she's eating out a lot. She's eating a lot of processed food. So then for her, we're going to look at, okay, where is your food coming from? How can we help that liver metabolism with all of the pollution in your environment? So it really just depends on each person. I hate to say that it's like it depends. That's always my answer for everyone. It depends. Yep. But it is so dependent, right? I can't just blindly say, you know what? Here's a liver support supplement that everyone's going to need to take and it'll help with your PMS and your pain. Yep. So it really just depends. What does your life look like? What is the pillar that you are needing the most support with? Is it your nervous system? Is it your blood sugar? Is it your environment and how your liver is metabolizing everything? Do we need to support your liver because it's under a little bit more burden than your sister, than your friend, than whoever?
Yeah.
So it depends on, you know, where you are, what your life looks like, and what is going on, and where your body is needing that support.
That's a great answer. I know it's a frustrating answer, but yes. that's the answer. And this is why conventional medicine just turns to birth control because they either aren't trained or they don't have the time. It's not necessarily their fault to understand each person as an individual with multiple factors affecting them. And unfortunately, when it comes to hormones and fertility, it's multifactorial. It's different for every person and there's a lot of factors affecting it. And so there isn't like a one size fits all. And that is challenging for people to hear. You know, they want the like simple solution and chasing after like the one thing, but it can be done. Like you said, it's amazing how fast, if you can target and pinpoint your specific root cause,
yes.
It can change so fast.
Yes, I agree. I think the emphasis on your specific root cause needs to be said because I have so many women, actually a lot of the women that I end up working with, they're like, I've tried this. I've tried so many things. I've worked with someone else. And it's like, we're not getting to what your body needs, right? Yeah. And then when we can pinpoint, oh, your liver is screaming at you right now. Like it's your liver. It's not your gut. You've been focusing on trying to do probiotics and eating more healthy and eating less processed foods. And that is amazing. And it's your liver that's screaming at you. So of course you didn't see the progress that you're wanting because we didn't address what your root cause was.
Right. And so when you say liver, you lump toxin exposure into that.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
So for some people, I mean, some people, I think, know that the liver is involved in detox and some people might not. So when your third pillar of liver involves exposure to toxins and because we see that, right? A lot. I'm sure you see it a lot.
Absolutely. Just I mean, it's chemicals. Kind of hard to avoid in our world these days. Like, I, you know, we know the stats on babies being born with how many toxins in their umbilical cord blood now.
It's yeah, so sad. Hundreds.
So sad. Our baseline is a little bit more toxic than it used to be. So, of course, I think I had this conversation the other day at our clinic. One of the practitioners was like, yeah, my husband's like, it's just because I'm, you know, over 35, I'm having all these issues. And it's like, no, 35 is still so young. Why are we dismissing 35 and saying that, oh, it's because I'm 35, I'm having all these issues? Like, our world is more toxic, and then our life ends up being more stressful and chaotic, and our nervous system takes a hit and our liver metabolism takes a hit. So then when we support those things again, we can feel like we're in our 20s without, you know, blaming our age for the symptoms that we're feeling.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I remember in school when we learned about degenerative brain diseases and how so many conventional ideologies is that it's just a product of aging. And it's like, right. Most things are not a product of aging. Yes. They're a product of 60 how? Years of toxins in your body.
But it doesn't, using our body, right?
Yeah, it doesn't mean that at 60, all people automatically have this, you know, degeneration. Right. It's so much a product of lifestyle and environment. And the same is true with hormones. And so I love that you said that about and the different pillars. And I've seen, you know, so we've talked about the nervous system regulation, blood sugar regulation. For people who don't know, you know, we both teach a lot about that. It's in a lot of my courses. It's a huge passion of mine because that I think was a big part of my issue. My hormonal issue was blood sugar regulation and just making sure you're eating consistently and not intermittent fasting and just having a cold smoothie in the salad and nothing else.
Oh, yep, exactly.
Let's take a quick break to chat about our sponsors. Since we are talking about PMS and painful periods, I wanted to highlight some of my favorite Needed supplements. First is their prenatal. Needed's prenatal is full of the nutrients your body needs to make happy neurotransmitters and hormones that reduce your likelihood of having issues like PMS. Key nutrients include magnesium, vitamin B6, and zinc. Their omega-3 supplement is one of my go-tos to recommend for anyone struggling with PMS or painful periods. And lastly, their pre and probiotic is a great choice for those wanting to support the gut health pillar of their hormonal health. If you want to check out Needed for yourself, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER. Okay, back to the show. But also gut health, do you do a lot with the microbiome? I would see in practice, you know, unhealthy bacteria and all these things contributing to inflammation being a big role in some women's painful periods. Do you see that a lot?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So gut health is, I don't know if you have ever heard or talked about that analogy of like the bathroom sink where the water coming in is, you know, everything in your environment, everything that you're eating, drinking, breathing, putting on your skin. And the drain of the sink is going to be what your liver has metabolized and processed. And then the pipeline out, that's going to be your gut. So if that is clogged, like even if the water coming in is at a normal pressure, the drain is nice and empty and clear, if that pipeline out of the house is not working, your sink is still going to overflow. So that's where that overflow can be any level of PMS symptoms, anything on your skin, that hair loss, that fatigue, that period pain, acne. Yes. So all of that, that's that overflow. And so where is it coming from? If your liver is working well, you're not having issues there. We have to start with that pipeline out of the house because you can upregulate liver metabolism all you want. You can give it all the nutrients. You can take all the liver support, do all the detoxes. But if you are not clearing that pipe out, you're still going to overflow. So gut health is a huge pillar that we start with. If you have any level of gut issues, that's where I start.
Yeah.
I don't like to look at anything else unless we are clearing that pipe out first because you're not going to see improvement if we are having that blockage there. So absolutely working on that gut microbiome is very, very important for so many things because if you're not clearing things out, you're not going to see that full resolution of your health issues.
Yeah. And the types of bacteria present, you know, we've had a couple episodes on the microbiome, but there's, I don't like calling them good and bad, but it's just so easy to say it like that. There's more inflammatory bugs and less inflammatory bugs. And when it comes to pain, especially painful periods. If you have more inflammatory bugs, like let's say you went traveling in Southeast Asia and ate the street food.
Yep.
And it's since then that like you've been having issues or whatever, you might have a not so good, you know, overgrowth of a bad bacteria or maybe a parasite or something. And those themselves can secrete inflammatory cytokines that mm-hmm. can contribute to painful periods. So it isn't always just like taking a probiotic. Sometimes you actually have to address those bacteria or parasites or whatever. So that's another avenue for people to look who feel like they've done it all. You know, I've had a lot of people who are like, I've done everything, but mm-hmm. I'm like, has anyone ever looked at your gut
microbiome? Yeah.
If you They're like, no, that, what is that?
Yep, exactly.
Like, that's
exactly.
probably your problem.
I 100% agree. I know. Like the second I hear someone say I've done everything, I'm like, yeah, have we? Have
yeah,
we? Have the microbiome we? Is always that culprit for so many women with hormonal mm-hmm. issues.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so that is really helpful. So getting to the root cause, working on that is great. We had a question on Instagram. Someone asked, like, what do you take other than ibuprofen when you have a painful period?
Yes, for
but
pain.
For pain. But we've talked about, you know, addressing root causes. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, are there any supplements or other things that you recommend maybe while someone's working on their root cause or in addition? Or
yes, my favorite one, and I think, like, my patients and followers are so sick of hearing me talk about raspberry leaf tea because I'm like raspberry leaf's unofficial spokesperson.
Oh my God, I love it.
Raspberry leaf tea is my, like, she is my ride or die. If I'm buried, please take my raspberry leaf tea with me.
Oh my gosh, so, I love it.
Like if you deal with period pain and you have not tried raspberry leaf at its therapeutic dose, meaning 1 tablespoon of loose leaf per cup of water, 2 cups every single day, no matter if you're on your period or not, like every day, or 3 tea bags per cup of water. That is the therapeutic dose. So I have a lot of people that are like, I've tried raspberry leaf tea. It didn't really make a difference, but they're drinking like 1 cup a day and it only has 1 tea bag. You're not going to see mm-hmm. a difference. You have to do that higher dose. And unless you're dealing with something very severe, like adenomyosis or really, really bad endometriosis, even people who have like mild to moderate endometriosis, I see them say that it has helped significantly wow. with their pain. So
that's amazing.
Even with endometriosis, you can see improvement with raspberry leaf if you're doing it 1 long enough and 2 at the right dose mm-hmm. and being consistent with it. Usually within a couple of cycles, people are like, my pain has significantly reduced.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And I might have missed this, pregnancy brain. Did you say you drink it the whole cycle or
the
just
whole cycle?
The
yes,
whole cycle. Okay.
The whole cycle. Yep.
Perfect.
And just in case, some people, when I say whole cycle, they think that means their period. Your cycle is the whole thing, the whole month.
The whole thing, every day. Yes. That's
and
amazing.
And then the other thing that I also really love, magnesium can be one of those underrated things for pain that can just take the edge off. Even if it doesn't completely get rid of it, it can help take the edge off, helps with PMS symptoms. Another one that I really love is cramp bark. Mm-hmm. Cramp bark can be really helpful for acute pain as well, where you are just taking and you're having to dose it every couple of hours as you're having the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one that I think is very underrated is a TENS unit. It got me through labor. Mm-hmm. Like I think, you know, a lot of people don't see how big of a difference that can make for their period cramps and their pain. It's like $30 on Amazon to get a TENS unit and you slap on those electrodes and mm-hmm. you can turn up the intensity as you need. So I think a TENS unit is one of those underrated tools that you can use for acute pain that's not ibuprofen.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, a TENS unit is a device that causes electrical stimulation and it kind of blocks the nerve pain pathway. Our nervous system is so fascinating and vibration and also nerve stimulation are wonderful pain blockers. They even have these devices for kiddos who are getting their blood drawn where it's like a little bumblebee that goes around their arm and it vibrates because they can't feel it, even though I'm like, they should make those for adults because my husband hates needles. I'm going to get you a vibrating bumblebee for your blood draws.
Literally, that's so funny because I was just talking about that in our group calls this morning about the vibrating bumblebee for kids.
Oh, how funny. Yeah, I know. I'm like, why doesn't everybody get a vibrating bumblebee? But
no.
The nerve stimulation can be really helpful for actually blocking the pain path. Obviously, our goal is to get to the root cause and help that. But for someone who's in acute pain, I've been there. I used to have severely painful periods. That's really helpful. The other things that I like to bring in, again, when we're looking at painful periods from an inflammatory perspective, omega-3s can be really helpful. Omega-3 fatty acids, especially EPA, is a very powerful anti-inflammatory. So just eating either wild-caught fish that have high omega-3s are taking a high-quality supplement. And I just want to plug, if your supplement smells fishy, it's probably rancid and it's not helping you.
So yes, yes.
You shouldn't have a super fishy-smelling fish oil. And if it has been, I don't know, I'm just not a huge fan of like buying fish oil at Costco. I like see people yes. buy these like giant yes. tubs
like
of it.
A lifetime like, supply of Costco yeah, fish oil is probably like, no. not helpful.
That can be really helpful as well. And then just identifying, you know, the root causes of your inflammation. And then for someone who is maybe weaning off of ibuprofen and they're really scared to not take it, there's a supplement called phytoprofen, which is it's turmeric, and I think it has I don't know. It doesn't have currant bark because it's not specific for periods, but it's all of the different herbs that we use from an anti-inflammatory perspective. So if you're like, I just want a one-for-one switch while I like, you know, get my mind around this idea of not taking something, that's a really great one to have in an acute situation. But those are some of my favorite supplement tips.
I actually had someone tell me just a couple weeks ago about something she's been taking that's really helpful for her pain. I think it's a homeopathic. It's called Cramp Ease, or
oh nice,
what was it called? Is it Cramp Ease? Is that no? Oh, Cycle Ease from nice. Boiron. Yeah,
perfect. Oh, I love homeopathy. So
yes,
me too. Fan of that.
I agree. Yeah, Cycle Ease cramps. That's what it's called.
Amazing. But yeah, painful periods shouldn't be normal. PMS is not normal. These things are just signs, right, that something's going on. But if you do have a fibroid, if you do have endometriosis, if you do have something else, you know, sometimes you do still need that support. So it's helpful to know that there's something else to reach for.
Right.
Can we just speak a little bit about periods postpartum? So I've been getting this question a lot. Once you've had a baby and maybe you're breastfeeding or you're ending breastfeeding or you're not sure, like what is normal for periods in the postpartum period? And if you're having more PMS, is that a sign of something? Like, can you kind of just speak to that?
Yeah. So as far as periods postpartum go, I get that question a lot as well, is like, what's normal? You know, I'm having irregular periods, or I'm having this. And if you're breastfeeding on any level and your periods are irregular, it's less concerning to me, because it you still have that up and down of prolactin, and it can be hit or miss or when you're going to ovulate. So mm-hmm. if you have completely weaned from breastfeeding and you haven't had a regular period after 3 months, that's when I would say, okay, what's going on? Let's look into something. But if you are breastfeeding on any level, even if you're just nursing for comfort once a day, that's still, to me, you can still have irregular periods because mm-hmm. of that prolactin. So once you've completely weaned and you haven't had a period in 3 months, that's when we have to say, okay, let's look at that. Or if you've completely weaned and your periods are kind of up and down irregular, that's still okay. What's going on with blood sugar? What's going on with cortisol? What's going mm-hmm. on with your gut and your liver? So let's look at those four pillars again and just see, because things can change. Mm-hmm. Your environment has changed. Your body has gone through a lot. You know, used up all of your resources, and now you have someone else that you're responsible for. Your nervous system is just a completely different thing as a mom now. Mm-hmm. And so where are you postpartum? How has your life changed, and where are you at? I know I definitely don't eat as healthy as I did pre-kids. So mm-hmm. That, you know, what else is going on that we can troubleshoot, and where are your hormones postpartum? So many things are affecting you now, and you're not the same person that you were before you became a mom. So yeah. I think a lot of us think like, I have to be, you know, my periods are going to look exactly the same, and I'm going to be the same person, and my body is going to be like, everything is different. Yeah. And we do still want you to have a normal, what's considered within a normal flow, what's considered within a normal timeline, like all of those things. So if you're having PMS, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's normal just because you're postpartum. We still mm-hmm. want to look at all those four pillars. We still want to see yep. what's going on. So if it feels like something is off, something is off. If you yeah. don't feel right, trust yourself, trust your body, trust you, knowing like, I know I'm postpartum, but I still feel like something's wrong. Something probably is. Let's you know, let's figure that out. Let's assess for all of these pieces and see where we can make some tweaks.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think that as women, we go through so many seasons. I love mm-hmm. using the term seasons, because yeah. that is what they feel like. And we are in such different seasons at different times in our life. Our mm-hmm. periods mean different things. Our lack of period, our presence of our period mean different things depending on what we want, what our goals are. And just like you said, you're a completely different woman when mm-hmm. you become a mother.
Yep.
And the four pillars that you mentioned, you know, if you'd, let's say, didn't have PMS or didn't have painful periods before, and now you do, what is going on with your sleep? Because most moms aren't sleeping very well.
Yep.
Are you eating? Because I see it more often than anything in the world that mothers completely neglect themselves. They don't eat breakfast. They make their kids breakfast and they don't eat, or they take a few bites off the kid's plate that they didn't end up eating.
I call that mom dinner. You know, like there's girl dinner. The mom dinner is like eating the mac and cheese and the leftover apple slices and the whatever. Yeah. And then you don't actually eat your own dinner.
Yeah. Or I had a patient once, which I don't blame her because I've had similar thoughts, where we're trying to prepare her for her second baby. And, you know, I'm asking about her lifestyle and her diet. And she told me about how her son eats and they give him all the fresh berries and like all these things. And in her mind, she's like, I need to save those for him. And it's like, oh, that's such like a mom mentality that like, here's all this beautiful, amazing organic food in the fridge that you don't eat.
Exactly.
That only your child eats.
That is a mom thing. I have heard that so many times.
Yeah, and the like, only way. And the only way I got her to shift was to remind her that she's preparing for her second baby. And that when she eats, imagine you're feeding your second child those berries. You know, it's like they can't do it for themselves. They can only do it for their kiddos. And so if that's you, just like thinking about that, because the blood sugar regulation, like you mentioned, can be different postpartum. Your gut health might be different because maybe you had a C-section and had to take a bunch of antibiotics and now you're in a very different place. Your liver might be completely different, you know, based on what's going on, your depletions from breastfeeding. So just remember that you are potentially in a completely different place and to reevaluate yourself as such.
Yep, exactly. And yeah, don't go to that 6-week visit and be like, I was cleared, I'm fine. If you don't feel fine, trust yourself. And that can happen. Postpartum depression can happen at any point between like 1 and 18 months after. So it's not that 6 weeks check off that you're like, oh, I'm fine. I shouldn't be feeling X, Y, Z. Like 6 weeks is nothing. It took me so long to heal. And I wish that had been normalized. I was like, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel like this? And it happens at different phases for everyone.
Yeah. And just a shout out to nutrient deficiencies. Nutrient deficiencies can play a big role in mood in PMS and postpartum because we need nutrients to make our happy neurotransmitters and a bunch of other things. So keeping that in mind, and also inflammation, I dove deep into the research for Needed because I formulate for them on the role of inflammation postpartum in postpartum depression and mood, and found there's so much related to inflammation and depression. I mean, we know now inflammation and depression are related.
Yeah.
So if you have an underlying inflammatory issue pre-baby or post-baby, that can not only cause painful periods, but also can lead to mood stuff and PMS. So addressing that as well is helpful. Again, bringing in things like the omega-3s can be really helpful, especially that EPA. Can you just speak briefly before we wrap up about castor oil?
Yes. Okay. I love it. Where do I even start? Castor oil. I love it for a wide variety of things. The number one thing I want to get out there and just tell people is that it is not causing your periods to be heavy. I know that's a huge myth that's going around. I have so many people that are like, I was told that I have heavy periods and I can't use castor oil packs, or that I used castor oil packs and my periods got heavier. And if that happens, again, the castor oil packs are just showing what your true periods are like. So what it's doing is helping to increase circulation to that area. That's really all it's doing. Like, you're doing something topical. It cannot cause heavy bleeding. If you have heavy bleeding and maybe things like your circulation wasn't as good as it could have been, and now it is, and you are having heavy bleeding, you have heavy bleeding. And we need to address that estrogen metabolism, the gut health, the liver health, whatever it is that is affecting the hormones that are causing the heavy bleeding. The castor oil pack just showed it's just showing you your cards of, hey, you had poor circulation before. Now that circulation is working well, your periods are heavy. So that is the number one thing I need everyone to know. It doesn't cause heavy bleeding. Don't have to be afraid of it. And I love using it for heavy bleeding. I've seen for so many people where it actually helps the bleeding. I've seen for a lot of people it helps the pain significantly. I've had a lot of women with endometriosis, one in particular that always stands out to me. She would tell me when she came to me, she had severe pain, like just on a daily basis. She was like, I am having pain every single day. And she was like, I don't want to add in supplements yet. I feel like there's so many things I can do before that. And so her two biggest things that she did Where for her, she cut out gluten, which I'm going to say is not something that I always tell everyone to cut out, but she mm-hmm. really wanted to do it and she did. And then she did castor oil packs and those were the only two things she did. And she didn't have pain on a consistent basis anymore. She only had pain for a couple of hours when her period started, whereas she went from having pain every day to only a couple hours when her period started. And she was like, this is so much better. I know I have endometriosis, but I don't even want to get the surgery because this is manageable.
That's amazing. I love that. I love castor oil too. Just don't do it when you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Just in case people didn't know that.
Yeah.
But it is such an amazing tool. And I just think it's nice for us to have something to do sometimes, I think, when we feel like,
right,
I want to do something. Like I don't feel right, or I want to nurture yes. myself. And it's just nice, you know, Epsom salt baths good. And yep. castor oil packs.
Exactly. Just girl things.
My girl things.
Castor oil packs. Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, this has been such a helpful episode. Can you tell everybody if they're struggling with PMS or painful periods, how can they get support from you? How can people find you and connect with you? Tell us all the things.
Yeah, I am on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. We have newsletters. I have lots of courses and freebies and masterclasses that you can be a part of. We also have a year-long group course where you get a one-on-one session with me. We create that plan. We go through those four pillars and really focus on what that root cause for you is that we need to figure out. And then we put together a plan. And then every other week you'll see me in live calls as well. Or if you want more just individualized one-on-one support, we have packages and programs for specifically just working together one-on-one as well. So lots That's of awesome. Different ways that we can connect.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom and knowledge. And I'm so excited for people to listen to this episode. Do you have your heart set on starting a family and are eagerly preparing to begin trying within the year? Have you been actively trying to conceive for several months? Do you have a burning desire to optimize your chances of conception and avoid the distressing path of infertility? Or have you been navigating infertility for a while, yet you yearn for new solutions, a supportive environment, and an approach that addresses the root causes of infertility? Our current fertility system is broken. Many couples receive almost zero support on optimizing their health and improving their chances of conceiving before or while trying to have a baby. 1 in 7 couples end up trying for over a year and then are often shuttled into the medication or reproductive technologies routes like IVF. Though there is a time and a place for these tools, so many couples would have different outcomes if they had the education, resources, and support I provide in my Fertility Formula Bundle. This program is a bundle of 13 mini courses about everything a couple needs to know. Each mini course consists of invaluable information, as well as exactly what to do step by step, with all of the resources I have created over many years seeing patients in practice. From mastering the cycle to boosting egg and sperm quality, balancing hormones, investigating female and male fertility, nourishing the body, fostering fertility energy, ditching toxins, reducing stress, rebalancing the gut and vaginal microbiomes, and detoxing prior to pregnancy. This bundle has it all. This is the information you aren't getting from your regular doctor that will only improve your chances of conception and the health of your future baby, no matter where you are along your fertility journey. And it costs less than one appointment with me. Visit www.womanhoodwellness.com/fertilityformula and use code HOPE to save 15% off the entire bundle. Again, that's www.womanhoodwellness.com/fertilityformula and use code HOPE to save 15%. Okay, back to the show. Before you go, there's one last thing. Did you know that we have a swag store now? The Healthy as a Mother store, where we sell amazing merchandise that is fun to wear. We have shirts and hats and sweatshirts. We have drinkware, bags, journals, all of the things that are healthy as a mother or related to motherhood in general. We would love if you could support our podcast by checking out our store. We love doing what we do, and it's really helpful to get the support and also to spread the word and share our amazing brand with the world. And you get some really cool, awesome stuff. One of my favorites is the crop sweatshirt and one of our glasses that we sell that says Healthy as a Mother. I just think it's so great. So head to www.healthyasamother.com/store to check out what we have. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store. And we are absolutely open to feedback. If there's something you would like to see that is not at the store, we can make a lot of different things there. So head over there, check it out, and we would love to see you sporting some Healthy as a Mother gear. And if you take a picture of yourself on Instagram, definitely tag Dr. Morgan and I, and we will be sure to share. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store to check out our merchandise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.